This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. And before those messages, we had The Verve with Bittersweet Symphony.
Yes, yes. You're like, we had to lay the red carpet out. The rose petals have been spread. Paparazzi have been here all morning waiting
outside,
for.
Yes, exactly.
Who's in the studio?
We have Mama Alto in the studio.
Hello, welcome, everybody. Mama. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's always wonderful to have you in. Probably one of the busiest people in the biz.
I think, well, certainly who appears on stage. I know a lot of people behind the scenes are probably busier than me, but someone recently said to me, you're one of Melbourne's most prolific cabaret divas, and I think it's true. I was updating my website last night with my upcoming gigs for midsummer, but also up until July, all the bookings and gigs and shows that I'm doing, and it's true. There's a lot.
Even just listening to what you were doing for Midsummer, I think, is a lot in itself.
Which we'll
basically
get to.
We're going to get to that.
Mm. Even though so many people know who you are,
I hope so.
give us your background. Tell us your story.
Oh, okay. Well, my official bio states, Mama Alto is a gender transcendent diva, jazz singer, cabaret artist and community activist.
Right.
And I've been performing professionally now for, let's see, this will be the ninth year, I guess,
of
performing professionally, jazz singing, cabaret performances. I've been touring and being a cast member with Finucane and Smith now for 5 years
now. We saw you at 45 Downstairs. Was it last year?
Oh, my God.
Or would it 2 years ago?
Might have been 2 years ago. Yes, it was 2 years ago in the Rapture. And I was part of the Glory Box and Dance Hall and the Birds.
Yes.
And more recently I've done some more writing and publishing as part of things like Queer Stories and the Living and Loving in Diversity, Australian Gay and Lesbian Multicultural Council book and with various publications in print and online.
Let's just go back though. where did it all begin? When did you know you had this beautiful voice?
People ask me that a lot, and actually, when I'm on stage and the voice comes out every single time, it's still a pleasant surprise and a relief. I open my mouth and I sing, and people like it, and I think, oh, thank goodness.
So were 5 or 6 or,
The story that my mother tells was that I was born quite premature, actually, and I was put into a little humidity chamber, those little glass humidity chambers, and that I was already making what she described as like little bird song noises right from the instant that I was born.
Yeah.
Well, no, apparently the instant I was born, I was not breathing at first. But once I started breathing, then I started singing these little bird song noises. But my father said he thought that my voice came from his mother, and she used to sing mostly in church in Java on the island where my father's family's from. And the first time he heard me really singing properly, I must have been 15 or 16. And it
at
was
school?
A recital that the school had put on.
Yeah.
And he heard me sing and he was like, wow, you have a voice like my mother's. And I didn't know yet at that point that she had been a singer, not professional. She would have dreamed to be a professional singer, but it was not possible. So.
Yep.
In some ways, maybe I'm living her dream.
Right. And at that moment, did you think to yourself, this is what I want to be a performer? I want to be a professional singer?
I think I always wanted to be a singer, partly because I love music, which I suppose most people do, really. But also the storytelling aspect of it, the way that singing grabs people's hearts and touches their souls and helps them understand themselves and the world. It's such a special form of communication. It's and in some ways it's like the closest in through music that we can get to something beyond ourselves or to divinity or to collective
Absolutely. You know, and it brings everyone together more, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yes.
And I, what I also love about singing is that, you know, like I have a niece with a few disabilities, and she can't, you know, like have a normal conversation, and but she can sing a
yes,
song,
yeah,
and she remembers all the words.
In so many ways, singing is transcendent.
Yeah, it's just so wonderful in that respect. You know, being around her at Christmas was just so lovely, hearing her sing, you know, Jingle Bells, where she can't have a full conversation with me, but she can sing Jingle Bells. Mm. It's just so wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
Singing. Now, here you are. It's another midsummer, and you are crazy busy. How many shows are you doing in midsummer?
I haven't actually counted. I might count down now, live on air.
All right.
So, Gender Euphoria is my biggest midsummer
project. Right, that's
project.
What you're here to talk
and
about
I,
today.
And I think it's one of the biggest, most important works I've ever been involved with.
What is it?
So, Maud Davey, who is a burlesque cabaret and performance art legend, and myself, we've worked in a lot of different short form variety kind of contexts,
yep,
like the Glory Box, like the Burlesque Hour, like Retrofuturismus, so many others. And we've worked together a lot in those contexts, and we always wanted to make a work together, but we had never really thought what it could be. And then in the last kind of 2 years, we had talked more and more about gender and about transgender art and transgender lived experiences and gender diverse lived experiences. And then I think it was Time magazine had as a cover story the trans tipping point. And there was a lot of rejoicing in the mainstream media about how we have so much trans representation in the media and in film and in art and on stage. And that's true, but it's a very selective lens. And it's not always... It's often about us without us. It might be a trans performer portraying the role, hopefully. Most of the time it's not.
Yep.
But are the writers, are the directors, are the creatives, are the people making the decisions, are they trans, or are they using trans experiences for traction or storytelling? And any representation, you know, in some ways is good. Visibility has such a huge
true
power to
yep
change the world. But we were looking at these representations, and especially for me as a trans person, looking at these things and realizing that so much of the narrative around trans lives in the media, in the arts, in the mainstream, focuses on gender dysphoria, which is, of course, a medicalized, legalized term for the distress of being trans. Mm-hmm. Now, that distress isn't inherent to being transgender or gender diverse. It's a product of the way society regards and treats trans people and makes our lives difficult and interferes with our own relationships to ourself and our exploration of our identities and who we are. And so we were really interested in flipping that narrative and talking about gender euphoria, you know, as a kind of direct opposite.
Yep.
And we were very lucky that Arts Centre Melbourne was interested in the project. They came on board as the first supporting partner.
Yep.
City of Melbourne then came on board, then Creative Victoria, then Midsummer.
Wonderful.
And so we gathered, that gave us the resources to gather what is now the largest trans and gender diverse cast in Australian history.
Oh, wow.
There are 11 of us
yeah
on stage. Everybody on stage is trans or gender diverse. Uh-huh. It's a diversity like a mosaic of stories, because there are so many of us portraying so many different experiences.
And are you telling your own stories? Is that what you're doing?
Some of them are our own stories and some of them are wider community concerns and
okay
stories.
Yep.
But because it's a variety show, the stories are often presented in the abstract or through
right
art or through singing, like we
yep
were talking about before,
yep,
in ways that will be very emotive and very responsive and very involving for the audience. It's not a lecture. It's not a play. It's not a linear narrative of things being spelt out or story told, but through songs, through acrobatics, through aerials, through music, through dance, through performance poetry, and a few of the segments of the show or the acts, because it's done as a postmodern vaudeville. So every 5 minutes or so, the act on stage and who is on stage is changing.
Yep.
And it links together as a broader arc Fantastic. Of gender euphoria.
Yep. Yep.
But there are so many different ideas woven in there and so many different art forms that it transcends in a way. It goes beyond just being the mind and can touch people's emotions and feelings.
Now, did one person, or did you do it as a collective, go through the whole system of what comes next, what topics do you want to touch on?
Well, Maud and I became, we generated the initial concept okay. for the project and we were co-creators, and then I became the lead performer and she became the director because she has so many years of expertise yep. in this particular art form and these kind of variety shows. And then the first phase of our development, over almost a year ago now, we convened a panel of prominent trans artists and community members, and we did research and development meetings at the Arts Centre where we talked about everything we could think about trans lives in the arts, about what gender euphoria means, about what dysphoric narratives in the media look like, about how you would counter that, about the very small, intimate internal feelings and the very big epic social movements, and colliding all of this together. And in our art form, to have those kind of intense creative development periods for months is such a luxury. So that was amazing.
Yeah.
It generated so much material, so many considerations of what we wanted to discuss. And then several of those artists signed on to become cast members performing in the show. And then that was followed by a creative development research process with all of the current cast members, and we were supported by Dance House in Carlton North.
Oh, fantastic.
So we were there, in the room together yep. with all our notebooks and all of our sketching and our musical director there with a keyboard and instruments and recording equipment, and off
who,
we went.
Who is music?
Ned Dixon,
oh, right.
who is a fantastic yep. gender-fluid, up-and-coming composer, musical arranger and director. They work mostly in small format cabaret at the Butterfly Club, at the Fringe, at places like this, most notably being nominated for Green Room Awards for Cabaret Best Original Songwriting and Arranging in their work with Alana Charnel and Alice Tovey.
Right.
And so they're amazing. We have Bailey Rose, who is formerly a trained ballet dancer, and then through her transition, she felt unwelcome in that classical ballet world and became an exotic dancer, burlesque stripper.
Oh, brilliant.
And now she's bringing colliding both of those worlds together in what she's bringing to the show. Marla Bird, who is an aerialist, acrobat, circus performer and genetic scientist, which is an amazing combination of skill sets. Amalie Otolu, who is a poet and a dancer and a Samoan Fa'afafine trans woman. And she brings this incredible cultural depth and anchoring of the show to something that's beyond so many of the narratives of transness that we see are, if not white-focused, definitely Western world-focused. Mm. And that's just, that ignores over 50% of the world. And so bringing that into the show is really amazing. We have some very highly regarded and award-winning writers who are performing as part of the show, including Quinn Eads,
yep.
Who has a doctorate at La Trobe and who recently published Going Postal, and Fury, who is a performance poet and writer whose work is prolific and everywhere. Who am I missing? Mix Munro, another fabulous singer, who is bringing some really interesting and uniquely sensitive stuff to the work.
And what are you bringing?
I'll be singing, but I've also written some performance monologues
okay.
that will help tie that show together.
And is this something new for you?
Get the audience in. Yeah,
yeah.
It is. Well, it's new for me to perform them.
Yeah.
I've written a lot, but it's for performance and otherwise, but rarely is it seen by
yeah.
the world.
Yep.
Harvey Zielinski, who recently he became the first transgender finalist in the Heath Ledger Acting Scholarship, which is incredibly prestigious and led to him being in a photo shoot with Vogue Australia. Okay. So he's coming on board and talking for the first time on stage about his personal experiences rather than playing a role of somebody else.
Yep.
Oh, gosh, there's so many cast members. Who am I forgetting? Maybe that was everyone. Was that all 11 of us?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. It's fantastic.
It's just, it's quite an incredible thing to be part of.
Yeah. And when's it on?
It's on January 24th.
Right.
In the Fairfax Studio at Arts Centre Melbourne as part of Midsummer. It's actually a keynote Midsummer event as part of the Body program, which focuses on gender diverse lives. It's on for one night only for now, which is our world avant premiere. But our hope, and I certainly hope this will happen because we have actually sold out as of 2 days ago.
Wow. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. A sold-out Arts Centre debut for a show is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe it. But our hope, you know, Maud and I are both company members of Finucane & Smith. And Finucane & Smith has been running for 16 years. And the variety shows like The Glory Box have been running for 13 years with that company. Because that kind of art speaks to people. And it's often life-changing. And that's our hope for this show and this company that we've assembled, is that this is just the first drop in the ocean and it's just going to grow from here until everybody can experience gender euphoria.
Mm. Yeah. Mama Alter, what else are you doing?
Oh, gosh. So that's one, gender euphoria.
Oh, right.
I'm really excited. I'm doing a late night jazz set called Late Night with Mama Alto at the Midsummer Festival Bar. And that's free. That's on February 9th at the Malthouse Theatre in the Midsummer Festival Bar. That's going to be great. I'm doing a guest appearance in Glitterfist's Radical Rituals at the Melba Spiegel Tent for Midsummer. I'm doing a guest spot at the Park Lounge at the Wyndham Cultural Centre for Midsummer and out in Werribee. I am on one of the discussion panels called Queer Potentials for Dancing Queens with Valerie Hex, who you interviewed earlier.
Yep.
I'm on the discussion panel for the Switchboard Speak Up event at Federation Square for Midsummer. I am doing a presentation at Port Phillip Libraries called Queer Storytelling at St Kilda Library for Midsummer. I am, so far I'm up to seven.
The big show at the Arts
Centre.
And
the big one is the Midsummer Extravaganza in Hamer Hall. That'll be my Hamer Hall debut, actually.
Wow, and 2,000 people.
2,000 people, and that's just on stage, let alone the audience. It's a lineup of luminaries. You know, we have living legend Carlotta will be with us. Reese Nicholson, Joel Creasy, Trevor Ashley, Sheldon Riley. So many people. I can't even remember all of the people involved, but it's a huge gala event with the aim to showcase the kind of best of the best of queer talent.
Yep.
And when it's being co-presented by Midsummer, Trevor Ashley and Thomas Jaspers.
That's right.
And Thomas Jaspers called me one day and described this event to me. And it's the best of the best of queer talent. And he rattled off the list of everyone involved. And I was on my way to the airport to go to like sing in Adelaide for Feast Festival. And I was on the phone and I said, oh, this sounds like a great event. Are you offering me a ticket? You know, he laughed. He said, oh, Dahl, you're so funny. And I said, oh, okay. And he's like, no, I want you to be involved, of course. And I was like, oh, okay. Does Carlotta need backing singers? Does Michael Griffiths, am I in the band as a backing singer? And he laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. Anyway, I'll see you there. And I was like, what just happened? And then he called me back the next day and was like, so have you picked what songs you're singing? And it like hit me that.
Wow.
Because when someone calls you and says, oh, I'm putting together this show and it's the queer best of the best and it's Hamer Hall, I didn't actually expect that I was being asked to be one of the headliners.
Of course you would. Unfortunately, we've run out of time.
I think it's nine.
Oh.
I think that's the count. Yeah. Nine Midsummer events.
Wow.
You're going to be very tired at the end of it all.
Yes, but it will be worthwhile.
Exactly. So it's such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Probably been third or fourth time on the Sunday
Outs over
the years. Yes.
Yeah, no, thanks very much for coming on the
show. Thank you, and happy Midsummer to everybody.
To you as well. See you here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.